Hello and welcome to the Storytelling with Puck podcast. We will, as always, start with a story.
I went to school just like everyone else. Out of high school, I went to university. I did what I was supposed to do. I found after a few years that it wasn't working. I wanted to try something different. So I started in what some people may have called a multi-level marketing, but it was in financial services. So I thought I was going the right direction. 2 years later, lots of hard work and no results. I stopped doing that. So I started just job hopping with administrative jobs year after year, lots of job hopping of, you know, nothing really solid and nothing really going anywhere. And I realized I needed to go back and finish school. This was, I was around 25 already at this point. So I had gone years without anything really guiding me anywhere. So I decided to go back to school, finish my degree. I finished my degree around 27, 28 years old. So I'm a little bit of a late bloomer in that sense, I suppose, but I had a lot of life experience on the way and I wouldn't trade it for the world. After that, I did finish my degree in marketing. And so I got my degree, got my first job. My first job actually was at a pretty large company and, you know, global company, 2,000-3,000 people. It was a really interesting experience, but it was definitely one of those you're just a number type of experience. It was a corporate job. It was actually a very small team and it wasn't really in marketing. It was, I tried to relate it as marketing research, because all I did was talk to customers and see how they were using the product. It was an interesting job, but it didn't really go anywhere. I had, you know, two or three people on my team and a fairly absent boss. So I had no guidance, no training, no one to help me, no one else doing what I was doing, no manager to tell me what to do and improve. It was very isolated in such a large company. It was really strange. And I didn't know what I was doing within the corporate world or within my job, really. I didn't know how to improve my skills and I didn't know how to change jobs. Ultimately, I got laid off because, you know, the US. they like to lay people off whenever there is a challenge. So that's kind of actually happened to me way more than people probably should ever experience. Probably more than most people I've ever met, actually, that have been laid off. I started then job hopping to a bunch of actual marketing jobs, but they were 6 months, 4 months, 9 months, year. They were very, very short because they were all small businesses that couldn't support or afford marketing. And in each of these companies, I was basically the only person. So I still had no guidance, no one to learn from. I was, you know, thank God Google was already a thing, because otherwise I really would have been a mess. But at that time, you know, this was, you know, 10 years ago, 2010, 2011, there wasn't that much available yet. So I was stumbling my way through, figuring things out piece by piece. You know, I didn't have a lot of places to go, a lot of guidance, a lot of you know, information, any of those little tips and tricks that you get from people in the mud. Yeah. So after that, for a few years, this went on, and I lived at the time in San Diego, California. If you know anything about Southern California, you know it's not cheap. And it's tough to find a decent paying job, even with a degree, even with a couple years experience. At the time, they wanted to pay me 12 to 14 US dollars an hour. Yeah. That was not easy to live on your own and, you know, support yourself. So I ended up stumbling into freelancing, and it's actually been, you know, a blessing in disguise because I've been doing it now for 4 years. And it's also what's gotten me to be able to work where I want and when I want. And it allowed me to move to the Netherlands to be with my partner with ease. Fortunately, there's a special program that the Netherlands has with the US where you can have a business, start a business and be a self-employed person and be able to live here legally.
That's important.
Yeah. And so here I am now, having gone through all that, you know, honestly, you can't change it. I wouldn't change it because I did learn a lot of stumbling. And in addition to my work with customers and clients for their marketing, it's also inspired me to help other marketers not struggle through what I went through, through that process. Because I know there's a lot of people, most people that start out of nowhere. You know, they start with no experience. They start with no other team, no one to help them, no idea where to start, no idea where to go. So this has driven me to really be motivated to teach others. So I've just recently started doing that and trying to help other new marketers get to not have to go through what I went through.
It's a great thing to do, and it's a wonderful story, and I think it tells us a lot. But before we go into it in more detail, firstly, thank you very much, Jennifer, for joining us. We will have a quick introduction to the podcast.
You're listening to Storytelling with Puck, the podcast designed to show the power of stories in life and in business. Stories connect us on a deeper level, which is why we'll be sharing, chatting about and feeling the impact they have on every one of us. Your host, Stefano, is the founder of Puck Creations, and we work with your business to define a clear, consistent, relevant brand which stands out from the crowd. We use that brand to create content that makes your audience think, feel, and take action. Visit puckcreations.com to find out more.
Before you do that, let's take a step back and look at some strategy. Let's build a great podcast experience that leads to a stronger relationship between you, us, and today's magnificent guest, Jennifer Nunez. Jennifer, who are you?
I don't know, just a girl in the world. No, I'm a marketing specialist. I help businesses market their company to the right people. And I also help marketers to develop their skills and improve their career.
That's a very succinct answer. I like it. You've practiced it over time, I guess. Being in marketing, that helps, right?
It does. But it's funny because I think I speak less than I'll write. So I can't. Okay. I'm definitely a copywriter by heart. So I prefer to write a lot. So I'll do.
When you have the time and the focus to be able to. Interestingly, yeah. Actually, on the day of recording, we released a previous episode from a lady called Hashita, and she says the same thing. Yes, an amazing creative. Some of her stories are just brilliant. So
good. Forward to hearing it. Yeah, I haven't gotten to it yet.
No, that's completely fine. It literally came out about an hour ago. But the reason I mention it was because she says the same thing. She says that she prefers to write than to speak. It's interesting with my writing. I've always loved writing, but because I had to veer away from that world very early on when I moved into sales and marketing, I'm also fairly comfortable with speaking. I'm sure most people don't like to hear what I have to say, but I say it anyway.
Obviously not true.
Thank you. But no, let's get back to the important thing, which is you. And so,
I don't know about that.
It sounds like you felt like you were going in a way that you really enjoyed when you were younger, but then you realized that it wasn't really getting you to a place where you could actually do anything that was going to help you support and live a life that was financially stable, etc.
On multiple levels.
Right, okay. I think that's always a hard challenge, because I wonder if you agree that it happens to a lot of us where we're trying to balance the idea of doing something that we love in life and also being able to afford to live. How do you feel? You don't have to talk about the world, but how do you feel like that affected you?
Yeah, no, and honestly, that's what appeals to me the most about Europe in general, but the Netherlands specifically for me, because there's such a work-life balance that it's such a focus here and it's not at all in the States, right? Like, they don't care if you're happy necessarily. At least they didn't when I was younger. I think it's the newer generation, like, is really making that a priority, right? Like, okay, having a work-life balance and having something that they really care about, especially I understand from this last, 18 months, it's really like caused a mass exodus with people and their jobs and trying to figure out exactly what they really want, what's important, what are their priorities, what's really going to sustain them no matter where they are and what they have to do. And so from what I understand, it's caused a real shift in people's jobs, at least in the States, regarding what they're doing and what they want to do long term. And I think that's a good opportunity for people, especially when you're younger, because you're forced to go through that at this point. Whereas I just kind of stumbled my way through for too long, probably a little too long.
It's interesting you say too long, actually, because within your story, you mentioned that you don't regret anything you did between finishing school and then going back to, I realized that in the States you call university school as well. So
college, yeah, it's college there. I'd use university here more often because it's more familiar.
Okay, fair enough. Sometimes I confuse myself with the different
I think college here is like high school in the
Yeah. Thanks. So I even get confused in the Netherlands because I originally from the UK, and in the UK, college means you're 17 or 18 years old. It's the kind of the time in between high school and university. And then you go to university after you've gone through college. Oh. I'm not really sure what it means in the Netherlands, if I'm honest with you, if it means anything. Maybe we'll get some people commenting on this post to tell us to tell us what it all
Help
means.
Us.
But probably a whole podcast about terminology isn't going to be what people need to listen to. So that time in between, you mentioned that you didn't regret it. And personally, I can see why, because actually that's sometimes where you live and that's where you build experiences. And those life experiences are at least as important, if not more important sometimes, than education itself. You can have them both together, depending on what you do. So when you say now that maybe you feel like you spent too long away, why do you say that?
Yeah, I think for me, if I had understood sooner that I was just floating along, then it would have been to my benefit. So rather than reflecting much, I just kind of did what I had to do. I did my thing. And it took me a few years to realize, hey, this isn't going anywhere. Maybe I just tried it for too long. I don't know. But my journey itself, I wouldn't change, because it's me. It's what I needed to go through.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a lot more reflective now, and that's okay. Also good.
Yeah, that is. And I think we change quite a lot as we grow mm-hmm. older. I know that I'm more reflective too, and I focus on it actually. I find it really important. Also, I think for a lot of business, not just business owners, but actually anybody working in businesses, it's something to keep at the top of your mind, that actually reflecting is really useful because it sometimes I think people think of reflecting as you're just looking at bad things that happened and trying to change them. But actually you're not. You're looking at all of the great stuff too. And you're thinking about what you can do that was good before that you can continue to do, or maybe slightly tweak and improve on, as well as the bad things that you potentially need to change. So what are your ways of reflecting now? How do you go about looking back and thinking about what's happened before, and also in the shorter term, because you said you're more of a reflective person at the moment?
Yeah, I think I use the new year, things like that, that are typical to look back and see where you're at and see where you want to go. And changes in my life tend to trigger that kind of thing. You know, what's, you know, this isn't going well. Is this what I want to keep doing? Do I really want to do this for the next 20, 30 years? Or, you know, I work with my partner to see if he wants to do what he's doing for the next 10, 20 years, you know, and together figuring out what it is that's important and supporting each other and that kind of thing. So I think it definitely comes up regularly, especially if something challenging is happening or if something really good is happening. You're like, I love this. I could keep doing this for another 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So just going back and thinking about what it is that I enjoy, that gives you energy, that you don't have to keep doing it, also is an important thing. I think as I'm getting older, I'm trying to remind myself that, you know, second life is okay too, right? If I want to change careers completely, that I could, if I really needed to or really wanted to, I could figure that out and I would do it. That it's never too late, you know, that kind of thing. Especially for me, having, like I said, been a little bit of a late bloomer.
Yeah.
That for me, that's important because I know that even having started, let's say 10 years later than some others, that I can still have a couple of careers if I really want to.
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah. But I understand that sometimes a lot of people don't think that way. And I think mentality has shifted a little. I think I know in my parents' days, the idea of leaving a job at all, unless, you know, somebody was literally trying to murder you, would be a sin. Oh, you'd stay, you'd have a career, and that would be the one company.
My mom is literally retiring from the same job she's had since she was like 20.
Wow.
This year she's retiring. So it's insane to think about that anymore.
It really is. To be honest, I think there are some benefits to that. I think there's some things that you actually learn from that in terms of kind of maybe a bit of a stoicism, which might be getting a little bit lost in the modern age. But at the same time, there's also a lot of problems with the abuse of power that companies had, because they knew nobody would never leave. They could... some companies thought they could get away with anything. Obviously, there were lots of companies who treated their employees well, and that's why people stayed too. So I guess a change is just a change. It's not necessarily positive or negative in terms of the generational divide. But these days, you definitely can have more than one career, as you say, and I think that's a good thing. I know that I'm not sure technically if you classify this as maybe my fourth or fifth career now.
See?
So you definitely can move. But as you are currently in your marketing phase and your marketing career, tell our listeners a little bit more about that. What exactly are you doing on a day-to-day basis? How are you helping and supporting people?
Yeah, so, you know, we talked a little bit about how marketing is telling your story, obviously. And what I help people do is tell their story so that their customers, that they, their ideal customers that they want to target, actually will listen and care. So that could be in any a number of different ways, but it's mostly for me, it's mostly been copywriting. That's my bread and butter of what I like to do and what I feel like I'm decent at, and really helps the customer, I think, in the best way, because writing is everywhere. First of all, you have every type of content is writing at some form. Even videos, even, you know, podcasts, they go to text in some form or another.
That's a really important point, actually. Sorry to interrupt, but I think it's something that people often miss when they see a copywriter or they see a content writer and they think, oh, I don't want to blog. That's not all we do. As you say, because writing is everywhere. It's in videos, it's in a podcast script, if there is a script, or it's potentially in
maybe
you are writing a blog about it, a transcript, exactly. Or show notes even, but you want to make them interesting and intriguing. There's, as you say, there's writing in absolutely everything. But I'll let you continue on that thread. I just wanted to highlight the importance.
That's exactly what I was talking about, you know, is writing is, I guess, the heart of it all for me, especially in marketing, because what you say and how you say it is going to be perceived in one way or another. And so that's my goal, is to figure out how it can be perceived by their target market. And so on a day-to-day basis, I'm doing everything from writing or rewriting web copy to the occasional ad to emails, to articles, blog articles.
And so there's often a question about, because you mentioned, Dave, that you sometimes write an ad copy or sometimes write an articles, and it's a bit of an internal question, I guess, in the copywriting world, but there's often a question about the difference between those short form quick hit ads that we sometimes write and the longer form content. To you, is there a big difference, and how do you overcome it if there is?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the small quick hits, you have to be punchy in very few words, and that's actually harder than it looks.
I think it's so much harder for me. It's so much harder than longer form copywriting. Yeah.
Yeah, and just like if you were editing an article, trying to cut things that aren't important, and you know, make it clear and make it concise. It's also just as hard. So. Ads, I don't do them as often. Most of my clients want me to do, you know, a strategy for them, create a plan, and then content writing and that kind of thing. And they're usually more organic stuff. But when I do ads, it's definitely a whole different world. In fact, that's why there are specialists for it, right? Like they have the whole Google Analytics down. you know, I call myself a generalist because I know a little bit of a lot of things, but I know or the T-shaped marketer, right? The generalist across, and the copywriter as the specialist. So
yes.
That's kind of me.
I like that explanation. Actually, for people who aren't aware of the T-shape, because often there's a big question about niching, etc., which maybe I think we've talked about it quite a lot on the podcast before, so we won't go into too much today. But just because you mentioned the T-shape, I love it. It's the idea that, as you mentioned there, you know about a lot of different areas. You know about a lot of different subjects. You might know, for example, a little bit about technology, or a little bit about beauty treatment, or a little bit about motorbikes, or whatever it is. But actually, that doesn't mean you're not a specialist, because what you're a specialist in is writing. And I'd say you're a specialist also in research and asking the right questions. So that's where I think the T comes from. It's kind of the horizontal line of knowing a lot about lots of different things, and then the vertical line of really understanding your subject really well. And so I really like the explanation of a T-shaped artist, maybe we could call you. Do you like that as a title?
That's nice. That sounds lovely.
you can put that on your LinkedIn if you like. T-shaped artist.
Title.
So as a T-shaped artist, where do you start when you first approach a customer?
I start with where they are. You have to figure out where the situation is currently. What have they tried? What are they doing? What is their focus? And what's important to them? You know, you can't really help them unless you understand what it is they're trying to do. So having to understand what their brand is and who they are. And typically this comes with time too. So, you know, a lot of times they don't know actually. So you get them thinking about these things and help guide them along the process. That's part of my strategy aspect, my consultant world brain is, you know, guiding them in the right direction and saying, hey, this is, you know, probably the direction you should go if this is your focus and this is what you're doing and this is your ideal customer. Most of the time they do have it, but sometimes there are definitely pieces that you help guide them through. So you find out where they're at and where they want to go. And then figuring out what exactly will get them there as far as marketing goes. So whether it's an ad or it's an article, finding out what exactly they need. They may think they want something, they may think they need something, but really digging deep into what they're currently doing, what they're not doing, what they should be doing, what they are doing too much of, you know, social media is a great example of that.
Right? I was about to ask, are there any things that are quite common that businesses do focus on too much? And I think you've probably...
That and SEO.
Tell me more about that, actually, because that's very, very interesting. Tell me more about why people focus too much on SEO.
It's funny. In any industry, there's always some kind of hot topic, right? Always. There's always some kind of trend, some hot topic. And I try to tell people not to actually follow trends. And some people are the opposite of that. Totally fine too.
Stand out. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people love to do the trends and that fits their personality, that fits their brand, also fine. For me personally, trends is not a way that I go because you need to stand out, because if I see one more person doing the thing, whatever dance thing on IG Reels, I'm scrolling the heck past.
Boredom kicks in quickly, right? There's no intrigue there.
No. That's the thing, right? So unless there's something meaningful behind it, I don't recommend trends. Because in a week, you're going to be spinning your wheels again to do something new that's come up again. So most, especially small businesses that I work with the most, don't have the capacity to do that. So focusing on their core values, on their core, you know, purpose, on their customers, on, you know, improving their services, things like that. That's what is important to stay on top of that. What was my point? We were talking.
I asked specifically as well about SEO and how people are currently focusing. Quite a lot of businesses have seen that SEO is important. And I will say SEO is important. That is true. But then instead of seeing it as something that they need maybe a bit of support with and to do a bit more of, they see it as the only thing that's going to make their business succeed. At least that's the way I see it. But what are your thoughts on, you mentioned already that some businesses focus too much on SEO. How do you see that happening? What do you see when you go into them?
Like they get so bogged down with keywords, for example, or backlinks. And I'm like, I've never used a backlink in my entire career and we do just fine. You know, it all depends.
It's really interesting actually, because it's something that I noticed too. And I'm not an SEO expert. I'll state that off
myself either.
Okay, so maybe we're fighting against something which SEO experts will tell us that we're completely wrong against. But
no, they will tell you the same thing. I have an SEO expert as one of my mentors for the marketers, and she absolutely agrees with that. She knows that you can go deep down into this stuff. There is detail after detail with so many different things, just like with copywriting, just like with social media. Mm-hmm. You can go really deep into all of the details. That's the thing. People get stuck on the one thing that they go into detail on.
Yes, that's it.
Instead of, as a business, focusing on the big picture, focusing on the whole picture.
I completely agree with that. We should maybe clarify as well, for people who are now thinking, oh, okay, I don't need to try and do any SEO. At least that's not what I'm saying. I don't believe that's what you're saying either.
But no.
SEO is important. It is important to get some of the right keywords into your articles. It is important to make sure that you're writing articles to start off with and that you're putting more new content out of there. A lot of the stuff that you will see in the advice and the tips that people give you is correct. Where I think what you're saying and what I believe to be true is that the problem comes in is when you're focusing on SEO at the expense of everything else.
Exactly.
So all that you're focusing on is, well, I need to clump in as many keywords as possible to this article. Or as you say, I need to put in loads of backlinks into this article. Or I need to make sure I have a video on every single article because I've heard that videos are important. Mm-hmm. Once you go all in, and you forget about everything else, then actually, well, are you missing out on actual networking meetings, person to person, or even virtual these days more often? Are you missing out on social media? Now, don't focus all in on social media either, but are you missing out on social media possibilities? Where are your audience now? Where can you find them and how can you connect with them? That's the important question, I think, that you need to ask yourself rather than...
Yeah.
Why is everyone else doing SEO and how can I do SEO better?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But your business isn't SEO. Your business is software.
Exactly.
Right. So you need to focus on the core importance of that. And then once you're ready, once you have the foundation in place, then you can start putting in some pieces that will improve, you know, being found, that will improve your authority, that will improve, you know, your services, anything along those lines.
And I think we both are connected with somebody who is great with SEO, who you actually introduced me to, and who, again, understands this world better than either of us do. But I think you're right that she would say the same thing. She would not tell us to, you know, go all in on that world. But we should probably stop talking about SEO for now, otherwise we're falling into the same trap as we're telling other people not to do. So you said within your story that you set up a community for marketers. What exactly is it and who is it really there for? Obviously marketers, but you know, if we could narrow down a little bit into kind of what they need support with. And
before we find out all about Jennifer's marketing community, let's communicate a little ourselves about how lucky we are to have Jennifer Nunez with us for this podcast episode. So far, we've talked about how she went from a place of uncertainty in her life to becoming a late bloomer, finding a degree, and finding a business that she loves. We've also talked about reflection, which we're doing right now, and we've highlighted the importance of standing out. Taking a look at the relationship between marketing and sales, plus we'll have a story from Puck Creations in part two. There's one more voice that you need to hear before all of that, because this voice is giving you the power to speak. Here is the magical Jackie Goddard.
My creativity at its best, it's a real exploring, it's a surprising journey.
I think creativity is just
the antidote to insanity, and it's productive originality.
Surprising answers, inspiring stories, motivational, educational, inspirational. Wise Words with Power to Speak, the podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch on YouTube at Power to Speak the podcast with me, Jackie Goddard.
Yeah, so I am building a community for marketers in Europe, specifically, partly because they have enough stuff in the States and partly because I'm here, but also because there's not enough here. There's not enough support for marketers here, especially on an international level. Even searching on Google, it's hard to find information, whether it's in English or Dutch or Spanish. Like, there's a very limited amount out there for Europeans. So that was one thing that inspired me to say, hey, you know, people need support in addition to my background. Mm-hmm. So it's basically for newer marketers to learn skills and learn the details that will help more than you ever realized. And I can't think of one at the moment, but
it's always the case when you have something like that comes to the top of mind.
Those little things that just happen to spark an idea or a change in how you process, you know, or how you work your process, anything like that. And increase efficiency, increase your understanding, improve your messaging. All of those things can happen with just these little details that you learn from other people. And so, since I never had that, I really want other people to have that access to other marketers, to other people who have experience in their industry, in different industries, and get that cross experience and information they can't get by themselves. And this is for, you asked me to narrow down. This is basically for digital marketers. I don't focus a lot on product marketing. It's a different type of thing. So it's mostly, you know, things like ads and SEO and writing and strategy that digital marketers can learn general things about online, but it's so high level. There's never any real, you know, as a writer, we know you kind of have to write like in general. You just do, because you can't speak to everyone. So having a personal experience and personal connection with other people in the community is really important to getting that understanding.
So how does it actually work? What are there events put on? Mm-hmm. Is it a mentorship scheme? What happens to
yes
to help people? Yes to all of that. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. So it started as a community, just having people in my neighborhood meeting up and getting to know each other and getting to know other people in the area that are also in marketing. For the pandemic, I moved it online, obviously.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's welcoming people all over Europe, which is exactly what I wanted to do anyway. So anyone that can join, they are just once a month, just to get to know other people, talk about a particular topic, but oftentimes it's just talking about what they're going through or who they are and what their journey was as well, because everyone has a totally different journey into marketing. It's fascinating to me how many different places people have come from and where they are now and what their experience has been. So just getting to know other people that have gone through different, different or same experiences has been a real experience for me, learning from other people like that too.
What fascinates me about that actually is your eyes lit up then when you started talking about where different people come from and how they got into marketing in the first place and what drives them and excites them. And it was because I think you were remembering the stories that people had told you mm-hmm. of what happened to them, what triggered the idea of them getting into this world. And to me,
their story.
It's their story, but I'm interested to know when you have those groups, when you have those communities, what is the importance of story within those groups and within those communities and sharing your story?
You know, the connection alone of, you know, I went through that too, or I didn't know people went through that. And it builds this connection of not only empathy and understanding where they went, what they went through, but I think it really helps people see that there are a lot of different routes they can go, or, you know, understand that their route wasn't wrong, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like me.
You like had to have that feeling, right? You had to feel like, actually, I'm okay to have got to where I got to, how I got there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, people have come from so many different backgrounds. You yourself said you had, I don't know, 3-4 other different type of careers.
It depends how you classify it, but yeah.
You know, but it's that type of thing. Absolutely. You know, I had a marketing degree, but I'm one of very few in the marketing world that have done that. Most of us have come from completely different backgrounds, completely different areas. You know, they came from just a virtual assistant. Maybe they came from sales.
Yeah.
A lot of people came from the sales world and didn't want to be calling people anymore, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, they came from data or finance, where they didn't want to deal with the numbers anymore. They wanted to deal with people more. User experience is a huge one that I think people went into product development and then went into UX after that because they wanted to work with people more.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, the stories are really fascinating in seeing where people have gone.
There's a few people actually that I know that partly because my partner is an engineer and half of my family are engineers, but in the engineering world, they have slowly progressed more and more towards marketing, especially design engineers, because they're creating something for a market. And, you know, they may be given a list of specs and things that they need to create something for, and they have a parameter around their designs. But they're now starting to think about why. Why do we need this?
Really understanding type? It.
Exactly. And so then they start to realize that, well, actually, it's because the customer needs it. Or maybe it's because the level before the customer wants you to put it there so that they can earn more money, because sometimes your customer have their own customers, but they want to they want to earn more money off the back of the products that you're making. But whatever it is, they're learning more and more about actually what is the point of doing what we're doing. And then they become more and more interested in marketing and actually how you then speak to the people that you want to speak about the products that you're designing and making. So that's just one avenue. And I think you're right to say that we all come from so many different worlds. I started off in sales and then worked a bit in marketing and then came to realizing that I could actually write for a living, and having it all intertwined as a writer and marketer. And so you came from a background of having a few different roles where you weren't comfortable and sure of what you were doing or why you were doing it, and then going back and doing a marketing degree and realizing all of the great tools that you have and how you could use those to work. But as you say, still being a little bit unsure of it all, because you didn't have the support and the mentorship and the guidance that you needed. So I love the idea of this community, and it's important that you're doing it for marketers, but actually I think in so many industries, this type of thing is needed. Mm-hmm. Somewhere where people can get together and go, oh, okay, I am doing okay. Oh, but maybe I can improve a little bit by doing this. Or, yeah.
And people with different experiences can really give you a light bulb. I'm seeing more and more that, like, cross, how would you call it?
Pollination?
Sure.
I'm not sure that's the word, but let's use it.
Let's go with it. That's exactly it, right? Like different industries, different backgrounds, different experiences, different specialties. They can all work together. And was it Einstein that was actually, or don't quote me on that, but they were, you know, something completely different than what they're actually famous for, you know. But because they use their previous experience into, say, creating a light bulb, they were able to combine that knowledge with their previous life into this new one. And the same applies all the time. I'm seeing it more and more as we go along, as I'm talking to clients, as I'm talking to other marketers, you know, their experience from sales really contributes. Like I did sales for a couple of years and I've seen it. Yeah. A long time ago. And you really see that that experience contributes to what you do now, you know?
Yeah.
No matter what.
Tell me more about that, actually, because I know from your reaction as you talked about it then, it maybe wasn't the world that you loved, but what were the things that actually you did learn that you can now use in marketing from sales? What did you learn from it?
Yeah, well, for one, what was really important actually in my very first job was knowing how to work with them, how to work with the salespeople, what they do, how they act, what's important to them, what they need, because I was actually a little bit of a sales support in that role. And so in that particular job, it was very valuable to me to understand what they were going through and how to talk to them, you know, how to use their language. Engineers, whole different language, for example. Right. So just having that that knowledge and experience in that world helped me work with them a lot better. But also in marketing, you're selling. I'm sorry, but we are, as much as I sometimes don't like to say it that way, because sales has such a negative connotation for some people, but you really are. You have to sell yourself. You have to sell your product. You have to sell themselves, the clients, the customers that you're looking for. And so it helped me understand the terminology and the way you say things really changes how they perceive you, how you come across, and how they can connect with you, how they interact with you, all those things.
There's a good friend of mine, actually, a lady called Jules White, who is a sales trainer and specialist. And when she talks about sales, the way she talks about sales is actually the way that I think we and a lot of people talk about marketing. And I think the close connection between sales and marketing, when it's done well, means that there's not such a big gap and there's not such a big divide between the two. I think sometimes people hear sales and they instantly think sleaze, they instantly think targets, they instantly think people trying to get as much commission as they can by, you know, getting you to buy all of the added extras, etc., on a product or whatever it is. But real sales, good sales, is actually kind of about marketing. It's about building up a relationship. It's about building rapport. Yeah. And that's exactly what marketing is too. Marketing is all about building up relationships. For me, the big difference between sales and marketing is that sales is usually with one person or one company and you're speaking to that individual. Marketing, you're speaking to a group of people. There are more differences than that. But for me, the fundamental differences are those two things, usually. And it's almost painful sometimes to see how much some marketing people hate sales and some sales people hate marketing. But really what they hate isn't the actual idea of marketing or sales. What they hate is the individual company that they're in and how they treat those things. Do you agree with that at all? Is that maybe that's just my outlook for being in some corporate worlds where I've seen, you know, not physical fights, but fights between the teams quite a lot.
Fortunately, I haven't gotten that bad, but I've heard definitely there's a lot of stories about that. And, you know, the tension between, you know, sales and marketing and one fighting against the other because one isn't doing this and the other isn't doing that. If they're not working together, neither are going to get very far.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
It's so interesting how siloed these companies are. which I mean, I work a lot with small businesses where that's not really the case, fortunately, but the larger you get, the more siloed you get, and you have to be really careful about communication and understanding, like, it has to be a culture thing for sure. And I think marketing is becoming more of an all company culture. Because if you don't have your own employees as advocates, what are you doing?
I completely agree with that. It's interesting, actually, and I don't want to talk about this too much because we do mention it on most episodes, I think, these days, almost accidentally. But because what we do is defining a brand with businesses, and because we're going in and we're sitting down with them and getting them to work out who they are, and it's not about the fluffy logos, it's about values and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
By the time they come out of it, it is often the case that they realize it has so much more to do with making sure the HR team is on the same page and
the research team.
And develop team, the design team is on the same page. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, why can't they think of any team names? it's always the way.
IT is actually also just important.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Because the way the IT people set something up for user friendliness, the way that they are speaking to each other, not just outside entities, because what you do internally will creep out and people will find out what's going on within your company. So if you're not living up to the values that you say you have, if you're not living up to your reason for being that you put on a big poster or that you put on your website, people will find out. You will get caught and your reputation will be destroyed.
Oh yeah, there's been plenty of those the last couple of years. Getting called out for not being, I commit to diversity. And a year later, they have one more person out of their 30 in their leadership. That kind of thing. I mean, that is so transparent these days, and you really have to have integrity throughout the company. Absolutely. And that's all your brand. That's all marketing. That's all part of what you need to really focus on. Really, it's just finding it important to bring everyone to the same page, I think, is a good way to say it.
I like that. I agree with it. And I know that a lot of what you do is strategy. I know we talked about copywriting earlier, but a big part of what you're doing is strategy. And you mentioned, I think, in one of your earlier answers about helping businesses decide which direction to go in. And so you're doing the same as us in some ways in terms of trying to get companies to focus on the right direction and go where they need to go.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that maybe emphasizes the importance of marketing a bit more than some people realize how important it is to your business. I think people confuse marketing and communication. And they think that marketing is communication. They think that actually we need to write an email every day, or we need to put out a social media post, or we need to do an ad. But all of those things are after effects of marketing. They're part of marketing, but they're what happens once you have worked out who you are. They're what happens once you've worked out which direction you want to go in. They're what happens once you work out who you're speaking to. Then you create an ad. Then you make a video. Then you, whatever it is you want to do. So
if you don't know what you're saying, it's not going to come out right.
Exactly. When you're working with a lot of these smaller businesses, does it sometimes take a while to get them to understand that you're not just there to, you know, communicate some fluffy material, that you're there to do more? Or do you get that in very early on?
I try to, depending on the, you know, some people are very sure about what it is they want, and they just want me to write their emails. Okay. I definitely try to say, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing over here? How is this working? And where is the, I'm very much a big picture person. So I try not to just focus on the one thing, because it's never just the one thing. For a company, for a brand, for marketing, it's never just one thing. It's never just one person. So I really find it important that communication is key across all of the company. So whether it's two people or 30 people, I want to make sure that I know what's happening all around so that I don't, so that I can contribute rather than detract from what it is they're doing, just like sales and marketing, right? Like if you don't know what the sales department is doing and you're putting out this email or vice versa, you're sending out an email and sales is like, what is this email you're sending people? People are calling me about this. I have no idea what's happening. Communication. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So if you're not communicating internally, how are you going to communicate externally so that the customers know what the hell you're talking about?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Completely with you on that. Now, our listeners may or may not have noticed, but there's been a few stumbles in this podcast episode today because I am not in my usual place and my internet connection is a little bit unstable. So if you have noticed that, I think I should maybe just put a quick apology out there for that slight lack of standard on the quality of the audio. But what I will say is that the standard of the guest has, I think, more than made up for it. And it has been an absolute pleasure to understand so much more about how you work and where you started and what you're now doing to support other marketers. So thank you so, so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell everybody where they can find you if they would like more to know more about the mentorship and the marketing communities, or if they would like to hire you for work and to get their strategy right and for some copywriting.
Yeah, my website is probably the easiest place, gemservices.co. It's Growth Empowered Marketing Services. .co.com. And the marketers can also find the community there. You can find me on LinkedIn at Jennifer E. Nunez, and I am very communicative on LinkedIn. I love it very much. that would be the best place is LinkedIn or my website.
Absolutely perfect. As already mentioned, it has been such a pleasure. We will, as always, finish with a story from Puck Creations. But for now, Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
Nobody knows what I'll be tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Come tomorrow, on today we may dwell. Dwell on the past, for a future in hell. Hell is the torment that may come in time. Time is a concept to which we are blind. Blind to a future we cannot see. See we must, the dreams that set us free. Free as your mind when your tomorrow's not bound. Bound to dream, we're bound to dream. Dream of what's ahead, let your dreams inspire. Inspire your present with your future's desire.
You've just been listening to the Storytelling with Puck podcast. We'll be back very soon, so make sure you subscribe and catch up on any of the episodes you've missed.